Let's turn together in our Bibles to Paul's letter to the Galatians. And this book begins on page 1154. Our text for this morning is just verse 1, but we're going to read the first of 5 verses together of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, the first 5 verses. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's as far as reading. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at verse 1 together this evening. And we pray for the blessing of our God and the preaching of this word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever received a phone call saying that there was something wrong with your computer? You perhaps hear this particular person having a different accent saying, just letting you know there's a problem with your Windows operating system on your computer. Now, do you tend to trust that person? Or do you doubt their sincerity? Do you trust what they have to say, or do you question their motives? If, however, you do take your computer and you bring it to a repair shop and that person at the repair shop says, yes, in fact, there is a problem with your computer, would you tend to trust that person? The fact is, yes, we would. Who we receive the message from determines whether or not we trust that message. Having a random person calling us on the phone, we know it's probably a scam. But actually having someone who is a professional who works on computers telling us there's a problem, we would believe them. So it is the author of the letter, if you will, making all the difference. In a similar way, when we begin our series through the book of Galatians, Paul begins this letter by emphasizing who he is as the author. He emphasizes his identity. It's not only important for us to know who this letter is, but also his identity as an apostle. As we begin our series through the book of Galatians, we're going to see that the focus of this letter, of Paul's letter, is on the content of the gospel, the core of the gospel. The theme that runs through our book is the truth of the gospel in contrast to another gospel, to false gospel, to the teachings of other men. This book was written in many ways to a recovering Pharisee, someone who had been trained from childhood to believe that its works and its merit and its effort. And they hear the gospel and it sounds good, but as time goes on, they revert to that old standard position where it's all about me and what I do. People were still being tempted to trust in the flesh, to trust in works and ability, even after hearing the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. As a book, the book of Galatians was written around 50 AD, written to the churches in Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. And the author of this book is clearly revealed in the first words of the letter, Paul. But as Paul opens this letter, he's not just saying, this is written by me so that you know who it is that you're receiving it from. He is focusing on his identity and authority, which was under attack. Who is this Paul? Why should the churches in Asia Minor, why should they listen to what he has to say? Who gives him the authority to speak in this way? So in identifying himself, Paul is defending his position as an apostle and therefore having the right, the authority to speak this truth. So we're going to consider this theme Jesus Christ appoints Paul as an apostle who speaks with divine authority. So Paul is appointed as an apostle to speak with divine authority. In our first point, then, we look at the negative assertion that Paul makes in verse 1. Paul says, I'm an apostle, not from men nor through man. Here Paul begins by making it abundantly clear exactly where his apostolic authority does not come from. I am not an apostle by men or through men. Now, as a reminder, the word apostle means someone who has been sent. An apostle is someone who had special authority. As Jesus Christ sent out his apostles, he gave them authority to speak, to teach on his behalf, but also to heal and cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. So the title, the office of apostle, is someone who had met with Jesus and had the authority to speak on behalf of Jesus. But Paul is here saying, I'm not an apostle because of human institutions. I did not receive this authority by way of some other man or some other person. Although it is true Paul was commissioned, he was sent out on missionary journeys, particularly by the church in Antioch. That's in Acts chapter 11. Being commissioned and sent by the church in Antioch did not mean that the church in Antioch made him an apostle. In other words, the churches do not have the authority to make a person or to give a person apostolic authority. There is no apostolic succession in view here. Added to this, the church does not have the authority to make something the Word of God, or does the church have the authority to make up its own understanding of what the gospel is. Even though Paul had met with other apostles, this was meeting with the apostles in Jerusalem, where he's going to go into this in chapter 2. I met with the other apostles and I spoke with them. They didn't have anything to add to the message that I had received from Jesus Christ. So Paul was not an apostle by men. By way of the church. They didn't make him an apostle. Nor was Paul an apostle through men. His office had not been received by way of human means. It was not a biological apostleship. He could not and would not pass on his authority to his own sons if he were to have them. The apostolic office was not attained because of his own works, his own family history, or because of who his father was. Paul makes the same assertion in 1 verse 12 where he says this, I did not receive the gospel from any man, nor was I taught it by any man. So Paul did not receive this teaching from other people. He didn't receive this authority from the church. He did not receive this by way of biological or family history. His office, his message, his authority do not have a human origin. His apostolic authority and the message, as we're going to see in our second point, are firmly rooted in the divine person who speaks to and through him. Now, the reason this is so important and the reason Paul gets right to the heart of the matter at the beginning of Galatians is in this particular context, the churches in Asia Minor were in a very various states of confusion. These churches had been infiltrated by men who claimed to be super apostles. You know, we have the original 12 and then you have Paul, but then you have the super apostles. You have the really great apostles. Men who had appointed themselves to these positions, to this office, and the message that they spoke was of a human origin. Being appointed by men, or self-appointing them their own position, they did not have the authority as Paul did. And we have to remember in this particular context, the New Testament books had not yet been written. This is a very sensitive and vulnerable period in the early church. just who had the authority to speak on behalf of Jesus Christ? Whose word was reliable? From where would the church hear the unadulterated, pure gospel? Upon what foundation would the New Testament church be built? Would it be built upon men who appointed themselves to their position, who spoke on their own authority, or something else? If the gospel was built on human tradition and human reasoning, it would remain imperfect and open to manipulation. Just to prove how this can happen, children, have you ever played the telephone game? You know the telephone game. You sit in a big circle and you have one person start. They tell a message or a phrase to the person next to them. And then by the time it makes it all the way back to the beginning, that message has been changed, corrupted, manipulated, sometimes meaning something totally different than what it began. Is that what was going to happen to the gospel? Is what the apostles first said or heard being passed from one person to another, was it going to be corrupted and manipulated so that over time the gospel was no longer the truth? Praise God, that is not the way in which Paul received the message, and that was not the authority upon which Paul would stand. The point is simply this. The authority that Paul had and the message that Paul proclaimed, particular in this book, would not be built upon human reasoning or authority. He says the same thing in 1 verse 11. This is not man's gospel. Just like Paul's identity as an apostle is not of human origin, so the message, the content of the gospel, was not man's idea. Paul is not just speaking off the cuff here. We can apply this not only to this particular letter, but to the content of the gospel and salvation as a whole. Salvation does not come from man, and the content of the gospel is not something humans made up. Nor is salvation something that man can accomplish. It's not in our ability. The content of the gospel is not the result of man's insight or wisdom. So when it comes to the reading here of the letter that Paul wrote here to the Galatians, we can be confident in the authority of it. This book of Galatians is not the rambling of some man over 1,000 years ago. As we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians 2, do not see the word of God as if it were the words of man. The apostolic ministry of Paul is one in which he has equal footing with the other 12. Even though Paul identifies this in his letter to the Corinthians, I was born out of season. I'm abnormal in that sense. I didn't actually be commissioned by Jesus Christ before his ascension. Yet the fact remains, I did meet Jesus Christ. I did see him. And I was commissioned by him. I was born out of season. Yet I am an apostle. That's who I am. Sent to the Gentiles with a gospel good news message that is pure and must be embraced. Well, now that we understand the foundation of the gospel ministry, and particularly this book, is not based on something that man came up with or man's authority. If this book is not based on Paul's ability because he was commissioned by men or a message he received through men, on what authority does Paul speak and preach? You might remember that the word apostle, as I said before, it means someone who is sent, who is commissioned. An apostle is a herald. You know, remember during the Middle Ages with kings and knights, you had heralds. Heralds would come riding into the town, and they would have these official scrolls, these letters with a seal, with a stamp of the king. The job of the herald is not to make up his own message. He's to read verbatim the message that had been given to him by the king. So Paul is a herald. He is speaking on behalf of someone else. He is an apostle, our passage says in verse 1, through Jesus Christ. The calling that Paul had received, the apostolic word that he would proclaim, the office that he fulfilled, was one that he had been appointed to by Jesus Christ. So when Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and Jesus says to Paul, rise and go, and later on identified in Acts chapter 9, Paul would be the chosen vessel of Jesus Christ. Jesus had appeared to Paul and gave to Paul a direct revelation by way of a vision. He heard the gospel purely from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. He was not only chosen by God, he was an apostle through Jesus Christ. Through the person and work, through the ministry of Jesus Christ, Paul became an apostle and therefore he was sent. Added to that, he was not only an apostle through Jesus Christ, he was an apostle in God the Father. God the Father had chosen Paul, had appointed Paul, had elected Paul, set him apart for this sacred office. Paul is here recognizing that he was chosen by the Father, set apart by God the Father to be the apostle to the Gentiles. In this assertion, Paul is making it clear that when he speaks, he is speaking on the authority of God himself. Paul is putting himself on par with the Old Testament prophets who began the letter by saying, thus saith the Lord. Paul is speaking on the authority of God himself. So when it comes to reading this book carries the stamp and seal of the divine Spirit himself. In other words, the gospel that Paul was proclaiming and the good news here recorded in scriptures was not spoken on the authority of Paul, but on the authority of God. As we read in 1 Thessalonians 2, you received the word as it really is the very word of God. Now that is not to say that whenever Paul spoke in his day-to-day life, and every action he ever did, that everything he did was done with the authority of God. That is not what this is saying. But what it is saying is when Paul proclaimed the gospel, and when he was inspired by the Spirit to write these letters that we hold here in our hands, these do, in fact, carry the authority of God and must be seen as it is, recognized and submitted to. We saw this bearing fruit in the life of Peter. You'll remember that with Peter, he ended up making a mistake. He got things wrong. He confused the gospel because he refused to sit and eat with the Gentiles. But the apostolic teaching and the words recorded in Scripture that Peter and Paul wrote, the books of the Bible that we have in the New Testament, are revealed, carried to us by God the Spirit himself, and carry the authority of God himself. Now, why is this so important? Why of all the ways that Paul could have begun this book to the Galatians, why does he affirm this by affirming his identity? Well, you have to remember the context. What's going on in the Galatian churches? Well, the Galatian churches were not only accepting false teachers, they were polluting the gospel. They were preaching false, human-centered gospel. These super apostles that were traveling the same areas were preaching a works righteousness. So Paul is making it clear. There is a totally, radically different basis. If you reject the words that I am speaking to you, Paul says, you are rejecting the word of God himself. And you reject it at your own peril. If you ignore the gospel, if you ignore the truth of being saved only by God and God alone, you will stray into sin. If you neglect God's word, you will suffer loss. As Paul accuses them in verse 6, you have deserted the Father who called you in the grace of Jesus Christ. You have turned away to another gospel, which is no gospel at all. It's no good news. It's distorted. You have chosen to leave the way of grace. You have chosen the bankrupt way of man and his own work. So Paul asserts his authority and the purity of the gospel because the churches were going astray. They were following other gospels, which were no gospel at all. The facts, the doctrine of justification was at stake. The salvation of their souls was in jeopardy because they had neglected the fountain of life, hewing out for themselves broken cisterns which could hold no water. So when the good news is proclaimed, when God's word is read, God's authority is backing it up. And when we listen to preaching today, it's the authority of God's word that gives it substance. That's not to say that everything a pastor or preacher would ever say is infallible, but it's the gospel, the salvation by faith through Jesus Christ alone. That is the message that must be heard, that must be received as it is, God's word. The content of the good news that we are saved not by what we do, but what Jesus Christ has accomplished. The truth of salvation is revealed in the word of God and is received by the works of God and God alone. Now this truth, this solid foundation that Paul sets before us, this foundation of the apostolic authority, this gives us a great boldness and comfort when it comes to living our lives and even speaking. Because our faith is built solidly on the rock of God's word, the cornerstone himself. And although this particular book, the book of Galatians, was written by a man, the fact remains the Bible is to be received as God's very word. As our children might have memorized when they were younger, who wrote the Bible, children? Chosen men inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not just some random truth, some nuggets of good ideas passed on from man to man, from person to person. We're not at the mercy of man's memory. As 2 Timothy 3 puts it, all Scripture is God-breathed. Or 1 Peter 1, no prophecy was produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This means that when the Bible speaks, it speaks with authority. You cannot take it or leave it when it comes to reading God's word. You cannot leave out or ignore sections as you please. A couple ways that this applies to our present day. When it comes to gender and roles within the home, when it comes to commandments about sexual sin and purity, when the Bible speaks, it speaks with authority. It's to be received and submitted to, not questioned. As our theme states, Jesus Christ appoints Paul as an apostle to speak with divine authority. There is a danger that you and I, and that we all face, that when we hold God's word in our hand and we hear the gospel proclaimed, we fail to put it on a different level. We treat this book like we would treat every other book. And we treat God's word as if it were the words of men to be taken at our own pleasure, free to take or free to reject. But here in the introduction of Galatians, this warning of Paul rings true today. Receive God's word as it is. It wasn't spoken through men or by men, but through Jesus Christ. by God the Father, who raised his Son from the dead. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this humbling truth here brought before us, that your word is living and active. It's a sword that pierces to the heart. That your word carries your authority, is to be received as such, not the words of some men, but your word. We thank you for the apostles that you sent, and you used them to record Holy Scripture for us. We pray that by your Spirit we would submit to that word and embrace it as true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.